Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Hold on. I'm busy being in charge of Discord. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is it my turn? Oh, biscuits. Yeah. It's my
you
turn.
Start.
Hey,
you
everyone.
Start.
I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where once we're focused up, we make today make sense. That's what we do.
Drew just that. Just that's 2 days in a row. Drew's like, I am in the control here.
It's like, I'm going to choose a number of seconds and then hit the button.
Right. Hey, everybody. It's Kai. It is Happy Hour Friday. Economics on Tap is what we like to call it. And I will say, just to follow up from yesterday's pod, I've had the second shot in me now for 6 hours and I feel just fine. Thanks. So we'll see. You know, just wanted to provide a little continuity there.
I did a double finger cross for you. Ooh, what's that? Yeah. Fancy glass.
What? Oh, so my now 22-year-old, but back before he could drink, son, who also likes IPAs, got me a special, apparently this is like a special IPA glass. And there's some beer person out there who's going to say, no, Kai, you moron, it's just a glass.
I feel like I'm certain that we've seen that, but
it's pretty cool. Whatever.
I'm having what was supposed to be just a smidge of tequila, but then I saw Zac Efron's new face on Twitter and I got all upset and I accidentally poured a little much because I want to work out after this. And I was like, I can't have very much.
Oh, how are you going to work out after having tequila at 3:30 in the afternoon? You are lying to yourself, Molly Wood.
We're going to find, no way I'm going to send a video. I love my new bike. I love my bike.
Okay.
In case you guys have not realized, since I keep saying things about Kai's glass or whatever, we're live on YouTube. On Fridays, we do video. If you are new to the podcast, welcome to Economics on Tap, where it seems like we're already a little drunk. Maybe we'll just do some news.
Oh, my goodness. So you're having tequila. I'm having, just to get the plug in here, because it's a really good beer, Beechwood Brewing down in like Huntington Beach or something. We've talked about this before on this podcast, Hazy IPA, 28 Haze Later.
Of course you are. Well, that's a clever name.
Yeah. I would like to take a quick pass through the YouTube comments. Matthew Carroll, he says, I have sinned drinking a fat tire in a Kai-PA glass. Not sure that is loud. No, Matthew, it's not. No fat tire beers on this podcast. I'm sorry. And then two people down, Andrew Kotecki drinking Hailstorm Brewing Dominatrix, 11% triple IPA. It was a rough week. I hear you, my brother. I hear you.
Wow. Why was it such a rough week? Yeah. Everyone, we see you.
I don't know. It just kind of,
was, well, I know why. I mean, it was because there was just a lot of America packed into this week in all the worst ways. And it was tough.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yep.
I think that's right. Well, so speaking of which, should we move to the news?
Let's do it. Because after the news comes the game.
Links. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm counting four links. Okay, so you go first because you win 4-3.
Yes. I like this new strategy.
And right now the producers are going, oh, my God.
I know. They're just like, oh, dear Lord, how long is this going to go? So, well, yesterday, it's sort of like one and a quarter story and then a second story. So it's technically only two topics. Yesterday, you talked about the realization of the growing horror in India. I mean, that situation is utterly terrible. The you know, infections and deaths are spiking. The health system is collapsing. And the United States can't and or won't help. So today there was some reporting that said that the United States won't be able to send raw materials to India to help them make more vaccine. And most likely because of having invoked the Defense Production Act to get vaccines out the door quickly here in the United States, also won't be able to send, at least not immediately, vaccines from its stockpiles. And this is kind of exactly the long-predicted moral global disaster around these vaccines, because nobody is safe until everybody is safe. If a virus is running rampant in a country, it can mutate. Those variants can spread around the world, and it just means that the virus is not under control, and that affects the global economy. If India can't go back to work because people are dying at too high a rate, you know, that has obviously, as we know, a huge ripple effect. And it is, it's a real quandary. It was disappointing to hear State Department spokesperson Ned Price basically say, you know, we right now we have to, we're prioritizing vaccinating people at home in the United States as quickly as we can, which of course they are. But that's sort of a tough thing to say, particularly when, as you will see in link 3A, we are here in the United States actually closing vaccine sites because of plummeting demand.
There are states requesting to get less vaccine because demand is lagging, which is a whole different thing. But the idea that we have vaccines to spare and are now ourselves to some degree engaging in what has come to be called vaccine nationalism is kind of troubling. And I think if the Biden administration really wants to reverse the trend of America alone and America first that started with the Trump years, it would be really good to get a bunch of those freaking doses on planes to everywhere.
Yeah, you know, figure it out. Particularly since, as of today, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been re-cleared by the CDC for use in the United States with a warning label. So we're swimming in it.
Oh, is that the – I missed that.
And it's time to share. I think it really is. I will say this did raise the question of for me, somewhat selfishly but not entirely too, though, of like, where are we with the kids and the vaccines? I know that Pfizer.
That's so funny because
had requested emergency clearance
inside my house like 10 minutes ago.
Because I want that to happen, especially if we're talking about schools reopening. There will be plenty of demand from parents who are like, "Yes, please vaccinate my school age child."
Well, so you know what's frustrating, and my wife is literally, we were talking about this 10 minutes ago inside the house, as opposed to here in my shed. And my wife was like, yeah, everybody's saying, you know, by fall, by September, we'll have that 12 to 15 thing taken care of. And she's like, school starts in the first week of August in our school district. Hello? You know?
Like that vaccine needs to get approved.
And we need to get that.
By Monday. Yeah. And then start rolling out if we really think that kids are going to be, especially if they're going to have to get a two-shot dose, which is, you know, essentially like a 5 to 6 week process for kids. Yeah, we need to start that right now. Right. And also start sharing with the rest of the world so that we're not still mired in this come fall or winter or, you know, I mean, it's just not – I think some of what happened this week too was the psychic blowback of just like, it's not – we're not as far along as we want to believe that we are, not even in the United States and certainly not when you factor in the rest of the world where this thing is really surging out of control in some terrible, terrible ways. So
yes. Okay. So that is that all of yours or is there one more?
I mean, there is one more. I could probably save it. I'm just a little annoyed about Apple and its little podcast announcement. Apple is introducing paid podcast
subscriptions. I think that's a whole separate thing. That's
and it's kind of a long thing.
I would like to go down a teeny little rabbit hole with you on that.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Yeah, let's do that actually.
All right. Save should I put one? It in the, like, let's precede it for Monday.
Just put it in there now. You,
this is like a whole new thing. We've never done this before. Okay, so on Monday, tune back in if you want to hear my many, many thoughts about Apple's long, long history with podcasting. Ahem. Cue the angry music.
I want to hear them.
Okay, cool. Okay, we're saving it. Sorry, sorry. The Discord is like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're just going to have to come back.
Yeah, Discord list. Discorders are probably much more tuned into this than many others. Anyway, yes. Okay, so, all right. Moving on to back to today and my items. I've got one real one and then a half one. And I'll start with a half one. I love today this news from J.P. Morgan in the wake of the collapse of the Super League, which if you haven't been following sports this week is all about some really elite-level clubs and rich clubs driven, I should say, by American owners of some of those clubs having wanted to band together to take all the money and all the fun out of global soccer. And they did that in part with financing from JP Morgan to the tune of something like $3.5 or $4 billion. So the league collapses because global soccer fans got really annoyed and global soccer officials got really annoyed at these 12 or a dozen and a half, whatever it is, clubs. And JP Morgan came out today and basically said, I'm sorry. And here's the quote from JPM London. We clearly misjudged how this deal would be viewed by the wider football community and how it might impact them in the future, the bank said in a statement on Friday. We will learn from this. I just love. I just can't even with the JP Morgan. We're really sorry. Please don't hate us. We attempted to tear down an entire global sports structure, but you know.
The most, just to be clear, the most popular global sports structure in the world. Yeah. Like there are like two things in the world you don't mess with, and those things are football and BTS.
Yes.
Like don't even. If you tweet about either of those two things, you're going to have a viral day. Didn't see it coming. Amazing.
I did not see BTS coming in that. But that's all right.
I can't believe they had to apologize.
And global football. That's all good.
That's so awesome.
Anyway, so that's my fun, oh, come on, you guys thing. Item number two for me is a tad more serious. And once again, I went to the FT for this, but there have been stories about this in American papers for, you know, 24-ish or something hours. The news that the Biden administration is going to propose a 39.4% capital gains tax increase. And the president's going to announce it. Sorry, it's not a 39.4% increase. It's an increase to 39.4%. And the president's going to announce this next week, apparently, in his mock State of the Union, his first address to a joint session of Congress. And you need go no farther than the headline in the Financial Times, which is investors in uproar over Biden's proposed capital gains tax rise. So, number one, shut up. Number two, honestly, because, I mean, look at the stock market. Look at the stock market. Yeah. We got capital gains coming out the wah freaking zoo. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, that's number one. Number two is there is evidence, and I cite as my evidence, but many others have it, a report from the BMO Investment Strategy Group using some data. They say, and here's what they say, calendar years in which tax hikes went into effect have historically coincided with double-digit S&P 500 stock index price returns, double-digit price returns, and stronger U.S. GDP growth on average. There has been so much wailing and gnashing of teeth in the last 24 hours about how you're going to cripple the American economy, about how you're going to lock up capital, and people are going to just implode because you're going to raise capital gains taxes in a time when capital gains have been astro-bleep-anomical. I just cannot even. And I think people need to get a grip. Subparagraph two on this one, by the way, is that has nobody who's complaining about this ever met the Senate of the United States? The Senate of the United States right now is divided 50-50. Kamala Harris, obviously, as the vice president, has the 51st and tie-breaking vote. But Joe Manchin is no fan of tax increases. Kyrsten Sinema is no fan of tax increases, both of whom are Democrats who are part of that 50. So the odds that something like an increase in the capital gains tax to 39.4% gets passed are really, really small. So everybody just throttle the heck back.
But they have to let him know about their displeasure so loudly.
I have to say my
Twitter feed went crazy because I have a lot of venture capitalists in this in my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
they
yeah.
in particular are extremely concerned about this because it would affect investors because they have this like carried interest payment that they get on the it's basically a share
don't
of the
even
profits
the carried interest
on the funds.
Loophole.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Like it has always been the sweetest of sweetheart deals that feels barely legal, and it's taxed at this lower, 20% rate. Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, would you like a functioning economy with roads and bridges that don't fall down? You tell me.
Yeah, yeah. So look, I do need to actually correct my rant in one regard, and thank you all you YouTube followers for pointing this out. This is for people with incomes over $1 million.
Yes.
Right, who also have capital gains. So that's important. It does not affect moms and pops and all of that jazz. And it is, in essence, 0.3% of taxpayers in this country. So there is that. It's a very small number, but Mm-hmm. Cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're not gonna because they want that Joe Manchin vote.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, look, this is all the theater. This is all the game. Like, there was no way that Biden wasn't going to come in talking about raising taxes on rich people. It's, you know, that is the only way to fund a lot of the things that he wants to do. Everybody knows that that is coming. Yeah. They want to make a lot of noise up front so that they can hopefully negotiate it down to something that they live with because they know it's going to happen.
That's right. But so John Lankard in the YouTube comments is bleeping. Yeah, no, totally. John Lankard in the YouTube comments is bleeping on the bingo card. I don't think bleeping is on the bingo card. We haven't played the bingo card in a long time.
Maybe it should be.
Tony, you should put that back on the website.
Yeah. Maybe a little update with bleeping.
Writ large is on the bingo card. There's some other things.
Full stop. Full stop is on.
Okay.
All right. What do we think? We have well exceeded our 15 minutes already. Shall we play a game?
We got to go.
We don't got to go. I got nowhere. I got nothing to do except ride my bike.
All right. You're not going to ride your bike. Have another sip. This is Friday, so we play a little game with Drew Jostadt on the other end of the phone here, half full, half empty, or as some call it, Jostadt's Revenge. I kind of like that one. Drew, you are on. Drew from downtown Los Angeles.
You're on the air. Are you half full or half empty on the vaccine time off tax credit?
Okay, so this is the tax credit. It's like, is it a tax? I think it's a tax credit for companies that give people paid time off to go get vaccinated.
Oh. So look.
Why does that have to be so freaking hard? That's so much work and paperwork.
Right. Right.
Just give them the time off, for God's sake.
Do the right thing? Take 4 hours. I mean, crying out loud.
Seriously, like, do you want your employees to not die? This actually feels just like the, you know, people freaking out about the high top capital tax gains. Like, if everyone dies, nobody can work for you. If nobody makes any money, they can't buy your stuff. Like, it's not like you are trying to be the best person in the world here. Just have some basic common sense.
So I wonder if, so there was that email from HR or whatever it was a number of weeks ago about our corporate overlords giving us 4 hours of sick time to go get the shot if we need it. I wonder if American public media, in all its glory, gets that tax credit. Anyway, yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
I would assume that's ridiculous. That so hard? Should not be required. I mean, it's frankly absurd and dumb, half empty. Empties.
Half shut up. Yeah, all the empties.
All right, how about halving the United States' gas emissions?
Oh, well, so this is out of the White House this week, the president promising to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50% by the year 2030. It should be said here, by the way, which I forgot to say on the air the other day, that it's from 2005 levels. So that's kind of relevant. I'm half full. I'm all full. Just do that. Full.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know what? It's good that we can only be half. I am half full on this because it is frankly the bare minimum. The bare minimum, and we need to do more than the bare minimum. So it is something, but we're going to have to get a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Even than that.
Oh, my goodness. This is like getting fact-checked in real time. Carol Cooper, isn't APM tax exempt? Yes, they are. Fine.
This is what happens when you cultivate such an intelligent audience. You quickly grow to regret it. All right, what's next?
I know. All right.
Half full or half empty on the overtime sports high school basketball league.
That was such a weird story. So Euler did this story for us yesterday on Marketplace. Overtime Sports is a company that got $80 million in late-stage seed funding from like Bezos and Drake and a bunch of NBA guys to do like new social media stuff and to start a high school basketball league where high school players who want to go pro but don't want to deal with college can make up to $100,000 by playing in this league and then turn pro after that. I think I'm half empty.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm half empty. Yeah.
I'm not of the opinion that everyone needs to go to college. I am of the opinion that we don't need all these tech billionaires deciding that people don't need to go to college. And I'm definitely half full on them using their money to just pump like perverse incentives into our That's schools. Exactly
right. Perverse incentives.
Into our schools. Like, take your know-it-all money and get out of education. And someone will say that this will provide some kids some opportunity, and that's totally true, but it's a very, very small number, a tiny, infinitesimally small number of kids who are going to be good enough to go directly into professional sports out of this. And then for everybody else, perverse incentives galore. I don't like it.
Yep.
No. Empty.
What Molly said.
DC statehood.
Oh, so interesting.
First of all, what are the arguments against DC statehood is what I want to know.
Well,
because I sincerely
don't. What's so interesting about this is that the completely fatuous arguments that members of the Republican Party are making about DC statehood, like the founders never intended DC to be a state. And then you see all these people coming back with, well, the founders never intended for slaves and women to vote. Right?
Yeah.
And all of these things. It was
also, how many states were not states
Willow was scratching
when the founders did the states?
Right.
The Constitution.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. I'm half full on DC statehood. It's crazy.
I am all the way full on DC statehood. Like, until I hear a coherent argument against it that is anything other than, oh, no, you might get the chance to put some people you like on the Supreme Court, which appears to be the primary argument, I don't get it.
Yep.
I really don't get it.
Yep.
And also, they're just making, we were having a conversation about it the other day, and it was just like, is it normal for people to just, like, straight up lie? Like, some Republican member of Congress was on TV just saying, like, there aren't enough people in D.C. for them to be a state.
Oh, I know. And they literally just, and there are more people in D.C. like than in Montana.
In Wyoming.
It's
bananas. It's like, but here's, like, this is not only is that just a blatant lie on TV, like, you can disprove it. 1 second later, are you not even trying to come up with real arguments? So, I mean, make it a state. The heck?
Yep.
Definitely.
Totally.
All right.
Cool. Totally.
How are you feeling about finding the next Jeopardy host?
LeVar Burton.
This is so interesting. Can I ask you, this is a totally serious question and not at all rooted in jealousy that I was not even in the conversation. How did LeVar Burton come to be the guy?
Internet. Well, he's not the guy. They're going to do, it sounds like they're going to have like a sort of
a
rotation. I mean, I think we all know he's the guy. Like, come on, if he's not the guy, the internet's totally going to revolt. No, that was the internet.
Right.
That was basically like a giant.
Was it really?
Yeah, populist write-in campaigns. Because everyone loves him.
Do we know if he's even good at it? What? I mean.
Don't know. We'll find out. But what's so cool about it is that I saw this great tweet that was like, shout out to LeVar Burton for essentially manifesting this thing that he wanted. Because he wanted it. He was talking about wanting to be the host of Jeopardy apparently long before Alex Trebek died and even before he said that he was sick. LeVar Burton was like, I've always had this dream. I would love to do this thing. And then when the opportunity arose, you know, the internet was like, we got you, buddy. Let's make it happen.
Wow.
I know.
All right. Well.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know what you mean by finding, Drew. I'm just going to go with I'm all the way full on LeVar Burton hosting Jeopardy.
I'm in the with. I'm going to half withhold judgment because I just want to see. I just want to see how he does.
Okay.
I was impressed with Aaron Rodgers. I was impressed with Anderson Cooper. I want to see.
Wait, they hosted?
That's it. Yeah.
Where can I find these? Internet, I guess. Yeah. I haven't watched any of these.
On the internet.
Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback?
Duck it, yo. Just duck it. Yes. Apparently really good because he literally studied tape. You know how NFL quarterbacks like study tape all the time so that they know what's going to happen? Rodgers like studied tape and did mock things in his living room with the sound down, the whole deal. He's a little obsessive, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a hard pass on that. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Anderson Cooper?
Right, yeah.
Why does he even want that job?
Yes.
He has a job.
The guy's on 60 Minutes. He's on CNN. He's got a new baby. Maybe he doesn't have enough fulfillment in his life. I don't know.
He needs a lot of attention.
Wow, that was
LeVar.
Weird, wasn't it?
LeVar.
That was weird. That was a weird thing to say.
That was an odd one. That was an odd one.
So, it was an odd one. Okay. We're going like on a half an hour.
Drew's like, you know what? I'm just going to. Everyone's
okay.
Like, no,
so,
Anderson Cooper.
Drew has decided we are
Thank
done.
You,
We're back on Monday. I am out on Tuesday. Marielle's going to be here with Molly covering for me, and I am grateful for that.
Yes, she is delightful, Marielle Segarra. We're going to be doing the Tuesday deep dive on how COVID has changed the way we look at privacy. Spoiler alert, we killed it dead. But not in all the ways we thought we were going to. Maybe just some different ways. Anyway, so if you have questions or comments about that, send them in advance to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Have a lovely weekend. Thanks for joining us. Nice to see all your smiling comments. We'll be back in a couple days.
I'm pretty sure this is the longest we have gone. Mark, Make Me Smart is produced by and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner does all things production-wise. Stephen Bion is our video producer. Also, our social media intern is Emily McCune. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. Did I do them? Yes, I did them. And our Make Me Smart explainers.
I know you're freaking out about the intern situation thing, but, like, Emily's doing great. She's doing great.
She's doing great.
Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, now in syndication or something. Donna Tam is our senior producer, the executive director of On Demand. It's the Tar and Yevas. I'm just hoping they're getting, like, residuals. I'm sure we don't do that.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.